Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Well, it's fun to be here, and I think this is my first time preaching here, so welcome. We have a great word for you today. I feel like God has something really He wants to say to each and every one of you. And so I want to just take a moment and prepare our hearts to receive from the Lord. Just bow your heads with me in prayer. Father, we are so grateful for your word. We're so grateful for your Holy Spirit who speaks to us. And Lord, today our invitation to you is that you would come and you would just speak directly to each and every one of our hearts. And Father, I pray that your word today would truly transform our lives. That today there would be seeds planted in each and every heart that would bear fruit in our lives. Father, I thank you that you are calling people to yourself. That you have a deep desire for us to become your sons and daughters. To know you as a loving Father. To know you as Savior. And so today, Lord God, we just say, Lord, come. May you reveal yourself to us in this moment. And as we see you, Lord, may we be drawn to you and changed to be more like you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are in the middle of a series on Ephesians, which talks about the church. And the point of the church really is it's the people that God has called together. And maybe today you are not yet a believer. Maybe today you're just checking Jesus out. Maybe you've known Jesus for a long time. But in our lives, knowing Jesus is an ongoing process. It's a relationship that we continue to dig deeper into. And that's why throughout, as Christians, we have these moments. It's not we join a club and then we're in, but it's entering into a relationship that we continue to deepen like any other kind of relationship. That's why we do like this, what we're doing, not this week, but the following, is it this week? Next week, right? We have fasting and prayer, what we call consecration week. We start off every year doing that, just consecrating. The beginning of the year, we consecrate ourselves as individuals, as a church, along with our worldwide body of Christ. We consecrate ourselves to the Lord. And then at mid-year, because how many of you know relationships have a tendency to just need to be deepened? The relationships just fray and we can get distracted and they just grow cold. And so we constantly are reconsecrating ourselves to the Lord. How many of you have been Christians longer than a year? Anybody here? Longer than a year. Okay. How many of you in your life you've experienced that coming to Jesus and then having that I'm not feeling as excited about Jesus as I did before. Anybody experienced that? Okay. So what we do is those are moments. See, our emotions follow our intent and follow our actions and follow our commitments. We don't follow our emotions. And so what we do is we consecrate ourselves to God in order to pull the rest of our lives towards God. And so I encourage you to join with us as we spend July 30th, 31st, and August 1st, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, just in time of fasting and prayer. We also just have guides. You can pick one up outside after the service. To help you, and they just guide you through what does consecration look like? We do prayer, we do fasting, which is a setting aside of food or some other interests in our lives. Normally it's like food we'll set aside just to be able to create more of a hunger for God and space in our lives to focus on Him and make Him important. And today as we go through the book of Ephesians, we're going to be talking about our relationship with God. And how do we make God important in every area of our lives? We've been going through this book of Ephesians, and it starts off, Ephesians just talks about how amazing God is. and how amazing His love is towards us and everything that He's done for us and all that He will do for us. And so the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians are pretty much just this declaration of how amazing God is and how amazing His love for us is. And then the last three chapters, it says, now in response to that, how should we live? And all that God has done and all that He has, in all His intention for us, and amazing as that is, what's our part in it? How do we respond to that? Because God is looking for a relationship with Him. And relationships are not something that you just get zapped with. God doesn't just come and zap you with a relationship. You have to grow that relationship with Him. Even Jesus, when He was here on earth in human flesh, the Bible says He had to grow and develop that relationship with people and even with His Father on a human level. And so we too need to develop our relationship with God and with others. In fact, that is the point of life. Jesus defines life as being learning to love God and learning to love people. And so we're going to look today at a section of Scripture that is perhaps one of the more controversial sections of Scripture. People argue about it all the time. It has a lot of deep emotion tied to it. There are books and books and books written on this passage, on this section of Scripture. We're going to avoid most of that. Most of all the arguments, I'm not smart enough to know all the arguments, so we're just going to avoid all the guys who get into the theological debates on it, and we're just going to talk about what the Bible says and how it applies to us. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And then some other time we can do all the debates and all the, those of you who like to get into that stuff and how it, we can do that. Because this section of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33, it's the one that talks about wives, submit to your husbands. And immediately that's like, oh boy, especially in Western society, it's immediately like, fighting words. I'm going to ask you just to lay aside the fighting words for today and just receive what the Lord has to speak to you in your life. All right, is that okay?
Yes.
Are you good with that? Yes. All right. Another time we can talk about all that, marriage, submission, and we're going to talk about some of that in any case. So as we're going through Ephesians, I was reminded that Ephesians is written, it's written to both a group of people, a church like this, a local church in the city of Ephesus, back in the first century, the year 62, likely the year 62 AD. And so it's written specifically in a context to a group of people. And so there's that part of the book of Ephesians where it's written to specific people. But it's also written to all believers at all times, everywhere. It's written to believers here at Every Nation Taipei in the year 2025. And so this passage, this scripture, this book is written to you and I. And God has specific things in it for us. And when you really want to know, so when we get into these kind of tricky areas of Scripture where there's a lot of emotion and thoughts and ideas that come into play and people argue over it, one of the things you always want to do is say, let's go back to the Scripture. Because one of the key principles in reading the Bible is that Scripture is what interprets Scripture. So all Scripture, because it's all written by God, it will all come into unity. And it would all affirm itself. And so you always want to say, in the context of Scripture, what does this verse mean? In the context of the whole of Scripture, in the context of this section of Scripture, this passage, this verse, in the context, what does this Scripture mean? And so when we read Ephesians chapter 5, we have to look back and see that as this Scripture talks about marriage, right? That's the main point of it. And that's important to all of us. Why? Because the whole of human history, the Bible begins with a marriage. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible ends all of human history with a marriage. Jesus to His bride, the church. And so for us to understand God and to understand ourselves and to understand this, marriage plays a major role in how God wants us to understand Him and to understand ourselves. And so as you look at it today, we basically want to say, why does marriage play such an important role in our lives? Okay? Are you good with that?
Yes.
So you're going to learn some things about what makes marriage work and doesn't work and not work, makes it easy and difficult, and why we as a society have so messed up marriage. We're going to hear and how God intended marriage to help us, all right? And for the singles, it's going to be good too. Don't worry. All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 also gives us a context for the scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ." So what's the context here? Ephesians, this chapter, the context is that we are to live a life filled with love. We're to imitate God. So how do we live as children of God? And how do we live a life filled with love? Have you ever felt unloved or unloving? Anybody here ever felt unloved or unloving? A few folks, one or two, only the brave. All the introverts kept their hands down. But Paul says, if you follow what I'm about to say, as I'm giving you instructions on how to live, this is if you want to live a life where you feel loved and you're full of love, you have to follow the instructions. And so for all of you who've ever felt unloved or unloving or wanted to feel more loved or more loving, this is for you, okay? And if you've ever felt like, how do I follow Jesus? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? How do I know what Jesus would do and how do I do what Jesus would do? Paul says, here's how you follow the example of Christ. So as we look at these verses 21 through 33, the point of it is to learn how to be full of love and to be loving towards others and to live more like Christ. All right? Are we good with that? This is what we're looking at, all right? So let God speak you on how to be more loving. Verse 2, second half says, he loved us, that's Jesus loved us, and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Jesus loved us. He gave his life a sacrifice for us, and God loved what Jesus did. So here's the thing for you singles. The most influential person who ever lived on earth, Jesus, was single. And so you don't have to wait till you're married. You can have pretty big impact on earth, be pretty pleasing to God, just like Jesus, even while you're single. Amen? All right, so we got something for the singles and the marrieds today. You ready for that? All right, let's jump on and get into it here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So I love how it starts out here. Submit to one another. We love to, as Christians, we love to just focus on the part where it says, wives, submit to your husbands. But Paul says, submit to one another. So it begins with submitting to one another. And then he's going to break it down. Now, wives, in a marriage, here's how you submit. Now, husbands, here's how you submit. But all of us get to submit. Okay? Christianity is a life of submission. So if you feel like, oh, man, you know, why are women so, you know, subjected and why do they have to submit? You all get to submit. He's just breaking down the different ways that we submit. So that means you have to submit. Turn to your neighbor. Just let them know you have to submit. Because it's kind of, yeah. All right. It's true. But now if you felt something rising up inside of you, anybody feel something rising up? No, I don't. You know, then we'll pray for you after. You know, just come on forward, lay hands onto you, kick that demon out of there. No, that's right. That's all right. We are all called to live a life of submission, but it says this, in reverence or out of reverence to Christ. So if you're having trouble submitting, or even you're wrestling with the whole concept of living a submitted life, the issue isn't whether or not you can submit. The issue is your reverence for Christ. The more that you learn to revere Christ and who he is and what he's done in your life, the easier it is to submit. Because when we recognize Jesus in our lives, all that he's done and all that he is for us and how much he loves us and how much he wants to lift us up and promote us, it's easy to submit. Because you recognize the authority that Jesus has rests with us. And therefore, out of that position of authority, we submit. Just like the Bible says, Jesus, knowing that God had put all things into his hands, knowing that he had all power and authority, he humbled himself and submitted himself to the cross. The reason Jesus was willing to and able to lay down his life and to submit himself to the incredible, horrific pain and shame of a very public execution, because he was secure in the love of his Father. Amen. And he was secure in his place in heaven. And so as you and I, as we get more and more reverence for Christ and realize more and more what he's done, and we honor who he is in our lives, we don't submit for ourselves and we don't submit for other people. We submit out of reverence to Christ. And we submit out of our position in him. All right? So, wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Okay? Out of reverence for Christ. In recognizing that that marriage relationship that you have is meant to be the closest thing to the relationship that you'll have to Christ as a member of his church. And so in the same way that we submit to Christ as his church, as his bride, you get to learn that through submitting, through how you submit to your husband. And so the point of it isn't my husband gets to make all the decisions. He has all the power. If that's the deal, like, I mean, you know, honestly, I used to say this, and like, you know, you submit, you're kind of equal, but when it comes down to a really big decision and you can't agree, then the husband gets to make the final decision. And honestly, I've said that so often in marriage counseling and things like that. But you know, if you're waiting till that, the most important decisions in your life, and then you're going to say, like, okay, we can't be in unity here. So then the really important ones, it's okay for not to be in unity. You go for it. That is a wholly wrong idea of what submission is. That's not how we submit to Christ. Well, I disagree with you, God, but, you know, since you got out of the power, you get the final say. That's not what the Bible talks about. And we submit to our wives, submit your husbands as unto Christ. I don't know about you, but the Bible talks about how David was the person who was closest to God's heart. And he's arguing with God probably more than anyone else in the Bible. And if you get married, you'll probably argue with your husband or wife more than anyone else in the world. And anybody married? Anybody ever find that? Is that only me and my wife? No, well, then we never argue, right? Because I'm always right. No, this is the truth, right? Because there's a safety within the commitment of marriage where we can just go for it and really let all of our opinions be known and really share our hearts. And when it comes down to the biggest decisions, that's when we want to be most unified. But submission is coming under, like, we come to God and say, God, you love me most, and you got this. I'm with you in it. Now, you singles are saying, okay, that's great for the married life. But singles, if you don't know how to submit before you get married, you're going to have trouble submitting when you get married. And this, remember, the Bible says submit to each other. Everybody submits. So guys, are you learning how to submit? How do you treat your boss? How do you treat your team leaders? How do you treat the people who mentor you? Is there anybody that you submit your life to? Do you understand how to have a healthy submission? Not an abdication of, okay, you're the boss, you got all the power. That's not submission. Do you know how to have healthy submission? So you learn that now, and in marriage, you're going to submit, like Paul said, you submit to each other. If you don't know how to submit to each other in the biblical model, then and you're just waiting to marriage, save your wife and your husband some of the hassles and start learning to submit now. Number one, submit to the Lord. See, submission to God is it's a close relationship. True submission is a close relationship where our hearts come. We want to say, I want to know your heart. See, real submission is, I want to know your heart. I want to align with you. And so ask yourself, would my mentors, would my team leader, would my boss, would they say, this person knows how to submit? Would God say that about your relationship? So singles, start learning how to submit. Is that okay? Because in the end, this is our relationship with God. And if we want to learn to be the bride of Christ, we learn to submit to God. And submission is not like, you know, big time wrestling. I submit, I'm in so much pain, I give up. Although sometimes that happens in life. But that's not the submission God is looking for. Unless you really want a lot of pain in your marriage all the time. And some people, that's what it is, right? I'm going to fight you until I can't fight anymore, then I'm going to give up. You know, that's, honestly, that's a not wise way to live. Unless you love pain. Unless you love drama and being in fights all the time. So learn how to submit well now. Learn how to submit by coming alongside. Learn how to submit by communicating and sharing heart together. See, that's the submission God wants in our lives. He doesn't want to just put us under his thumb and say, you do what I tell you because I'm more powerful than you. But sometimes we treat him that way. And sometimes we treat submission that way. All right. I'm not going to get very far today, am I? All right, here we go. Verse 23, for a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, verse 24, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. So when Paul is talking to wives, this is oftentimes in counseling. When you're talking to someone, you're counseling them. You're not counseling them about everything that's wrong with the other person in the conflict. You're counseling them about what they need to do in the conflict. Because everybody has a role. And if you want to counsel people well, you need to say, what can this person, what can you own in this? What can you change in order to address the conflict? Here's what normally happens. As I'm saying, here's what you need to do. They're always thinking, what does the other person need to do? And if you've ever done any counseling like that or ever been like that, when people are counseling me, I want to tell them, this is what my wife should do. I can tell you everything she should do. But see, in counseling, in giving people wise counsel, we counsel them, what do you need to do in order to resolve this issue? And so what Paul is doing, he's giving wisdom to the wife and saying to the wife, this is what you should aspire to. You should aspire to being able to submit to your husband in the way that the church is supposed to submit to Christ. Now, if you're like some other churches, not this church, I mean, we are really submitted to Christ. We're good. But some churches and some Christians still struggle with submitting to Christ. I don't know if you've ever known anybody like that. Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and I see someone like that. Come on, submit to Jesus. I don't want to. But we're learning how to. See, and we all need that in our lives to learn how to submit. And so Paul is talking to wives and saying, wives, here's what you need to do. You need to aspire to submitting to your husband in the godly way, in the same way as having reverence for Christ. This is not something for husbands to go and tell their wives, wife, what you need to do is submit to me. Although, this is how we read it. So, husbands, tell your wives to submit to you. So, this is God's word to wives. Husbands, this is not a command that you use to mandate and manipulate your wife. This is something for the wives to learn to aspire to say, I want to learn to submit to Jesus. Because here's the thing, see, the goal of marriage is not just happy wife, happy life, happy, what's the other one? I don't know. Happy spouse, happy house. That's right, that's better. Happy spouse, happy house. No, the goal of marriage is like the goal of life, to become more and more like Jesus, to be with Jesus, closer and closer to him, to become more and more like him. And so the point of you being married is so that you would become more and more like Christ and become closer to him. So for wives within the context of marriage, here's how marriage is going to help you become closer to Jesus and more like him, by learning to submit. All right? And it does say, wives, submit to your husbands. So my wife, the only one she has to submit to in this way is me. Some people think that that means, well, all women then should submit to men. No. Nobody else. My wife doesn't have to submit to. You don't have, all you other guys, you don't have any authority in my wife's life. Okay? I mean, you can try. It's within the marriage relationship that there's this place of learning to submit out of reverence for Christ. And that's an aspiration for the wife. That's not a hammer for the husband. All right? Are we good with that? Let's get on with it. Verse 25. Husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. So now we move for husbands. What does it mean to submit to one another? Well, husbands, and we won't get into a lot of gender stuff here, but just know men and women are different. This is what the Bible says. This is what we believe. This is not what some people in the world around us believe these days. Not sure how they come to that, because it's certainly not out of science. You know, men and women are different. And so the way they submit looks different. But make no mistake, it both comes from a place of submission. And for husbands, this is what you aspire to. Husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. So husbands, you show your leadership in your family and with your wife the way that Jesus showed his leadership for the church. He came, laid down his life. And how did he lay down his life? He didn't just die on the cross. He came as a little baby. He took 30 years to grow up. So there's some patience in there if you want to lead your wife and lay down your life. And you need to, in the same way that Jesus came and he didn't live as a little kid and grow up in order for him to experience everything we experience and know it. He already knew it. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. But he needed to help us to know that he knows us. And so what are you doing to help your wife know that you understand her? This is the way Jesus loved the church. So husbands, how's your patience? And what have you been doing to show your wife, hey, no, I really, I understand you. I walk in the shoes that you walked in. I understand that. Husbands, you love your wives the way that Jesus loved the church. Is that okay? Husbands, wives, we're still friends? Am I still your friend? Yeah. For singles, how are you learning to wield authority in your life? How do the people that you have authority over, maybe the teams you lead, the people that you mentor, how do they view you? Do you lead out of love? Because don't just wait till you get married to learn that. You need to start doing it now. And this is true for, just like submission is true for men and women, this is true for men and women as well, leading out of love. Because the Bible says all of us as children of God, we're called to lead. You are created to lead. You're created to take responsibility. You're created to make things happen. Adam and Eve were put in the garden and said, you take care. You take care of the earth around you. All of us are called to help lead others to Christ, to know Jesus. So each and every one of us, even if it's just learning to lead ourselves, we all have leadership on us at some level. And are we learning to lead out of love? Husbands, all you singles, you know, do your future wives, especially you guys, do them a favor. Number one, learn how to lead. If you haven't started leading by just excelling your work, excelling your studies, excelling your character, be the person in your neighborhood that people talk about as being, oh, that person's just a good example of how life should be lived, of what a person should be. Begin learning to lead and learning to lead out of love. So if you learn to do that where people admire you, people look up to you, people are willing to follow you because you lead and you love, it's going to be so much easier for you to do that with your wife and your kids when you get married. Is that okay? So all you singles, get busy submitting and leading out of love. And then he says this. Just as Christ loved the church. So you want to find, you want a good place to practice leading and loving? It's here in the church. How do you love the church? It's a great place to practice learning how to love your wife and serve your wife or serve your husband. Is how do you do that here to others in the body of Christ? So here's what I want to encourage you to, as you listen to this, don't just look for what agrees with you from what I'm saying. Look for what you feel, see agrees with the Word of God and say, okay, that's what I want to align my life to. So how do you love the church? Here's what Paul says in Ephesians. Let's go to chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. So, husbands, in the way that you're leading your wife, is everything for her benefit? See, when Jesus was head over the church, he was made head for what? The benefit of what? Himself? No, the benefit of the church. Is your wife benefiting from your leadership? It's a good question. Are the people you lead benefiting from your leadership? Or are you the one benefiting? Who's benefiting from your leadership? See, we lead for the benefit of others. Do you do everything for the benefit of your wife. Verse 23, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. A famous movie, I guess this is an old movie now, Jerry Maguire, where he and the girl, Tom Cruise and the girl, they have a big fight, and then they're making up, and they have this moment and trying to reconcile with her, and says, you know, I don't even remember if he says it or she says, you complete me. You know, so, and it was really romantic at the time. You complete me. Oh, all the girls like, oh. But does your spouse feel like in your leadership, she's being completed? See, Jesus, the Bible says, the church is Jesus' body and it's made full and complete by Christ. So do you lead in a way that your wife just feels full and completed by your leadership? And it starts now. Do the people around you, do the people, you know, in the church, do they feel full and completed by your friendship? Does your involvement in this church help other people feel more full, more completed? Or is church all about you and what you can get out of it? See, if you continue to always make your relationships about you, my paycheck, my fulfillment, that I feel good, that I feel full, you're missing the whole point of what this relationship between Christ and his body is supposed to be. And you're going to miss the whole point of what marriage is supposed to be. And then you're going to wonder, why does my marriage feel empty? Because we're looking at marriage as, what do I get out of it? How does it complete me? As opposed to, how do I fill the other person up? How do I fill my spouse up? How do I help them feel complete? And that starts now. All you singles, don't wait until you get married and say, no, I'm going to, you know, when I find a hot babe that I'm just super attracted to, you know, it's going to be so easy for me to fill and complete her. And, you know, I'm going to serve her the rest of my life. And just so easy because, you know, I'm just so infatuated. You know, we get infatuated with the image of who we think a person is. And then we get disappointed by the person they actually are. And then infatuation lasts, you know, to a week after the wedding or sometimes a year, or, you know. Don't be fooled. Love is not infatuation with an image of who we think someone is or should be. And that is so often where our picture of marriage is. Because that's the lie that the world feeds us. True love is based on commitment to a real person. And it honestly doesn't start until the infatuation wears off. And here's what people who study marriage have found, is that people who live long, who have long-lasting, satisfying marriages, they all go through a period of time where they struggle with being married to the person that they're married to and feeling like, did I marry the wrong person? And why is it so hard? That's why they had popular sermon going around a number of years back, now that you've married the wrong person. Everybody's like, yeah, that's me. What do I do now? Because you hit those moments. But it's only when you go through that and you get to the place of committed walking together. See, so often we treat marriage like those special friends. I had a conversation with, I don't remember who. I was talking about they have the special friends and then they have the friends you just walk along, do life with. And anyway, if that's you. Was that you, Annie? That was her. There you go. That's who it was. You got those special occasion friends, you know, who are like, going to have a good time. We just get together and we see each other at a party and, whoa, I see you at parties, you know. They're my party friends and we're always a good time. And then you get the friends who, you don't need a party. They're just going to be your friends. We don't have to have a special occasion. We just walk together. See, that's what marriage is meant to be. And that's what walking with Jesus is. And that's why God can say there's suffering in marriage and there's patience. Love is, number one, patient. Why? Because it takes patience to get to love. to pass through infatuation to what love really is. And that starts here. You learn that now in relationships with others. We learn that in the church. We learn that with Jesus. It's just the walk with Jesus. There are going to be times you may not have faced it yet, but there are going to be times when you're going to be disappointed with Jesus. You're going to be angry. Why doesn't God answer my prayers the way I think He should? There's going to be times when you're disappointed with the body of Jesus, when they don't act the way and don't talk the way you think they should. It's going to happen. And it's in those moments that we actually start to learn to really love. Because true love walks through the difficult moments. And it's that commitment that lasts. One more verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. In the ways that you build relationships with people, is it a reflection of the wisdom that God's put into your life? Do you bring wisdom to bear in the relationships that you have? Do you bring godly wisdom into those relationships? Or is it really all about how it makes you feel and how it benefits your life? Are the circles of friends around you a reflection of the wisdom that God's placed in you? Have you even started to ask God for wisdom to be a benefit to the people around you? We so often pray for wisdom to be a benefit to us. Give me wisdom for the problems I face and the things I need to do. But Jesus' wisdom was displayed through the church, the ones He loved. And so it's the wisdom in your life. Are you asking God, God, give me wisdom to benefit others? May the people around me in my life, may their lives be a reflection of the wisdom that You've poured into me. Because that's the Christian life. The Christian life is getting away from just being self-centered to being others-centered. This past week, my wife was saying, Did you see that video clip? What video clip? Did you see that video clip about the Coldplay concert? Anybody see that? Did anybody miss the video clip about the Coldplay concert? Yeah. A couple of us. Yeah. See, there's a guy who never learned how he's supposed to treat his wife. But then when you think about his wife, and you think about his kids, right? You think about the devastation that that brings. There's a reason why God says, don't do this. Don't be selfish. Learn to love a love of submission. Learn to lead in love. Let your marriage be a reflection of your wisdom. That was not a reflection of anybody's wisdom right there. God's intention is not to wreck our fun. His intention is to guard our hearts and our relationships. Guard those closest to us. That's always God's intention. Everything He does is out of deep love for you. Every command that He gives is out of deep love for you and the life that He called you to live and the people in that life. And so I want to encourage you as we read the scripture to not just read it for how how we think it might benefit us, but read it knowing that everything in there is for our benefit. Even the stuff you disagree with. And our hope is that in our lives now, in our personal lives, we begin to apply the Word of God so that when who we are on the inside becomes public on the outside, it doesn't bring shame. It doesn't bring brokenness. It doesn't bring hurt. But instead, like what Paul says, it brings completion. It brings wisdom, it brings wholeness, it brings a sense of love. This is what Jesus wants for us. And the world wants to do everything, culture wants to do everything around it can to try to tear that down. Because the Bible says we do have an enemy in our lives who wants to steal from us, who wants to destroy, who wants to kill everything that God intends. There will be times of disappointment in life. When God will disappoint you, the church will disappoint you, your spouse, people in your circle around you. But in those moments, I want to encourage you. God is always for you. He will be faithful. If you stay in that place of learning to submit and to lead in love, God will always come through. And your life will start to be a testimony of how great God is, because when what's in the private places of your life gets revealed in public, what people will see is not things that bring shame and destruction. They're going to say, that guy, that girl, they live a life that I want to emulate. I think of the people around them and how blessed they are to be in that person's life. Because the way that they've conducted their lives brings blessing to all around them. And that's what we do when we follow Christ. That's what we do when we follow His commands. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't you stand? You know, at the end of the service, we always have just our prayer ministers up here. If you have places in your life where of hurt, of pain, maybe a private struggle, maybe today just brought up a lot of areas of struggle in your own life, we want to pray with you. Because we don't stand in condemnation of people who struggle. We come alongside. We are not those who shoot our wounded. We're those who come and care for them, right? And so if you've got physical needs, pain, injuries, we want to pray for you. God heals. If you've got areas of emotional or relational wounding or pain in your life, we want to stand with you and pray. And so you can come up at the end of the service and the team will pray for you. But would you bow your heads right now? Father, in this place, we just come once again. We're so thankful for your wisdom. But more than that, Lord, we're so thankful for your great love for us. That you would give the life of your only son, the thing most precious to you. You would give his life in exchange for ours. And that Jesus, that you would come and you would lay down your life for us. You would come and live on this earth in order to show us the love of the Father. And Lord, may we live the same kind of lives. May we live our lives to show your love to others. Father, for those who are here today who maybe have not yet known the love of Christ, Father, I pray that today would be a day that they would open their hearts to you, to begin to pursue you, to know you, to follow you. Father, today we just say, thank you, Jesus, that you forgive us of our sins, the times we mess up and that we fail. And that you always restore us and you bring us back. Today, Lord God, I pray for just a restoration and healing for those who are struggling, those who are disappointed, those who, Lord, just see themselves failing and find it hard to lead with love, find it hard to submit out of reverence. Father, our prayer is that we as a church would be a reflection of who you are. To a world around us that has really no understanding of what true love looks like, Father, I pray that we would live our lives in a way that others would see and know how much you love them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, our prayer for you this week is that you would just have moments where you would really, your eyes would be open and say, oh, that's how God loves. And yourself to say, to have moments where you are able to not only experience the love of God, but to bring others into that experience of the love of God. Thanks again for joining us today. The Lord bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.